that is unwoke on every level.
What?
Well,
Dennis, good to be back, man. It's been a fortnight.
It has. So you were in where were you?
I was in the Czech Republic, Prague.
Yes, I saw a wonderful shot of what you called your team.
Yes.
In a incredible looking, it's like something out of a storybook tavern.
Yes. So there's a the story behind that is our team member that was organizing the event. He looked around and he found this restaurant that was very touristy, but it was a, like, he sent us the instructions. Here's the location on Google Maps. And I clicked on it, and I looked at some of the reviews, and it said it included sword fights, belly dancers, and fire stunts. I was like, okay. I've never been to a place like that before.
Do they serve food?
Right. And it's all you can drink. Wide open. Right?
For wide one price.
For a solid price.
Like how much?
I don't know. That's the...
'Cause,
it was corporate.
It isn't the bar that's all you can drink. It's the event that you host.
Well, no. I think it's that for... I don't know. I think we bought certain entries that was like food and all you can drink. But we'll get to the all you can drink in a minute. So we get there, and it's just this hole in the wall on the street. And we go in, and we have to walk down these really twisty staircases. And it's very dark. You can barely see. It's hard to see the stairs. And we walk down some staircases and then up some and then over. And meanwhile, there's like people dining as we're going deeper and deeper. We go down and then up again and then all the way down. And we get down to the very bottom of this fucking cave. And there's no electric light. It's all candles. And it's like real candles, not, you know, LED safety candles. It's real fucking fire. And... We're like, this would not pass safety code in our countries. Like, there's no emergency exit.
Will we die? We've here? Got
open flames.
This is your last stand.
Luckily, we looked around and we noticed a vent on the wall. So like we were getting fresh air. And
so you could crawl out the vent in case of disaster.
Yeah, potentially. But it was tight in there, and we were on this long table along the wall, and there was a little bit of...
Some 15 of you, right? Yeah, 15, yeah. 20 of you?
Yeah. 15. And there was a little bit of space, and then a couple other tables on the other side. That was like the whole width of the little cavern we were in. Hey, cavern rhymes with tavern. Interesting. So we were in there, and we sat down. And this waitress, dressed in medieval waitress garb, came over and said, how about some beers? And we were all like, yeah, beers. And so she went away, and she came back with, it must have been, she probably had five in each hand of these heavy pint, like, but the solid glass pint jugs, and she comes and she slams it down on the table, and it just scared the crap out of us and my cat just now.
And they're mugs or
yeah, mugs,
jugs,
mugs. A full,
a big mug.
Yeah, to half liter, which is a pint, and so we pass those around, and then finally the food course comes out. And it's...
Wait. Yeah. Why did she do that?
Because it's a...
Customary?
Because we're like... back in time in the Middle Ages in a tavern.
And the way the servers were mean.
Yeah.
And rude.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And
sultry.
Yes. All of the above. And so while we're there waiting for the food platter to come out, this old guy stumbles in and says that he's a magician. And so he proceeds to do some, like, sleight of hand magic of, like, tying a knot in a rope and then having it disappear or whatever. But, like, in the darkest, dimmest lit place, like, you could barely see the guy, and he was doing, like, sleight of hand. It with the, just candle flickers. And I was like, this has got to be the easiest place to do a magic trick. Because we can't even see what the trick is supposed to be.
And this team of people, are they from all over Europe, yeah. All over the world?
All over Europe.
Uh-huh. And they're your
the people that I work with every day.
Fellow employees.
Yes. And so, God damn it, cat. Don't let me put you outside. And so they're... and so we were amused. Because we're all along the wall, I sat with my back against the wall. And so all the performances were happening, but like... on the other side of the people and sitting in front of me, so they had to like turn to try and see what was going on.
But you could
whereas
see
I could more or less see, although they were in the way. So anyway, that was kind of hilarious, and then they delivered a platter of cheese and sliced meat that was not very impressive at all. It was like one of the cheeses was like. I swear it was like grated mozzarella out of a bag that you would get to put on a pizza. It was like, this is not.
This is not authentic.
The kitchen, let's say, you don't go there for the food. But meanwhile, you know, the beers keep coming in and.
Well, what kind of beer?
Hey, can you hear me and see me?
Yep.
All right.
Well, I can hear you. I got to come back to you here. Hang on.
Come back to me. Walk into the light, Carrie Ann.
Ooh.
Got me? You printing while recording?
No. I was printing during the break. You were gone for long enough that I became bored and decided to print the email that I need to print. Why wait till tomorrow?
Good.
It's done.
Okay.
It's one page.
So I'm back. So you asked about the beer. It was just a light lager. I mean, not.
Well, that doesn't sound impressive either, though.
No. Not light as in Bud Light, but it was.
Did you like the beer?
It was fine, and
it was nondescript. Thirsty. It was nondescript. I can tell.
It wasn't amazing beer. It wasn't amazing beer, and it wasn't. It didn't have a very high percentage of alcohol, given how much we drank and how little effect it had. But again, it's free beer, so.
I don't know.
You know, I know. So again, we're not.
You're not there for food, and you're not there for beer. You're there for entertainment, which you can barely see because you're in a cave lit by candlelight. So what a rollicking good time it sounds like so far.
Then the belly dancers come out, and there's people. One person gets on either side of the room with like a lute or something, some string instrument, which I later notice they're strumming almost entirely with all the strings open, just like the easiest possible thing you can do on an instrument. Yeah. And, you know, some belly dancers shaking their bodies in the dark. And anyway, that, you know, they would come and go. Like, they were just making their way around to the different rooms
tables,
of the cavern, tavern.
And the musicians and the dancers roamed from room to room together?
Yeah, I think so. And then at one point, a guy came and pretended to swallow a sword, although, you know, it was low ceiling. So, you know, he was bending back to swallow a sword. And
it's funny how you do that so naturally.
Yes. Well done, Dennis. And it looked so fake. And he was like, I bet you've never seen anyone swallow a sword like that. And we were all sort of rolled our eyes, and he like collapsed the sword and put it back in his pocket.
Really?
Yeah, he was the whole thing
comedian.
Was sort of tongue in cheek. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a comedian, right.
Anyway, there was more of that. And then we had some actual sort of a meat platter that, again, it was so freaking dark, it was hard to tell what everything was. So,
was like, it tasty?
This sort of feels like a drumstick. It was okay. It wasn't amazing, like I'm saying. It was, and
so,
and when, hold on, there was literally everyone in the place, every diner spoke English. So this is not like a place that locals go. This is a tourist trap for this particular purpose. But anyway, it was kind of a fun night. We had a lot of talking and bonding with.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a lot going on. It's got to be a fun environment. If you know, I would imagine that if you get a beer that's weak, you just say, "Well, here it is.
Let's have more of it." Yeah.
Yeah, here it is. I mean, it's what I have. I'll make the best of it, and that's great. Well, it sounds
at some point they passed around.
It actually sounds to me like there would probably be better places to go. Where,
yeah.
you don't go there for the food, you don't go there for the drink, but yeah, you do. That's what you're paying money for. The entertainment and all that other stuff is falderall.
It was a novelty place that
it did the trick.
That we as a team will remember.
Okay.
Also, by the way, the waitress came over and like whipped me one time.
With what?
She had this like fucking whip thing, and she sort of smacked me, and it made a loud noise, but also kind of hurt. And I was like, what the fuck?
Where? On your back?
On my butt. I was sitting on the bench. At this point, I had switched sides, which was apparently dangerous. But then she like asked for volunteers, and some of my coworkers like volunteered to go and stand. There was a big cross on the wall, and stand there like this and have her whip them several times. And it made a big noise, and it was just like, what? This is a bizarre.
And it kind of hurt.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have that memory to share with the team.
Like, now I'm becoming frightened about the
yes.
About the event.
We all agreed not to talk to HR.
Well, let me ask you this. So given that,
yes.
What if, just think about this, what if the alternative were the very best restaurant in the city that's known for the most amazing food and, of course, the most amazing beer? Would you pick the one you went to for that night?
Of course not. No.
You wouldn't? Oh, no, convinced you would because...
No. Look, later we went to other restaurants. It was not just one night. Like, we were there for three or four nights. And the first night, we didn't have anything organized, and so we just sort of walked out from the hotel, and I had sort of scoped out a little bit around the neighborhood before, and I had seen a place called Beer Meat, which is... Great. Not beer and meat, just beer meat.
Not all 15 of you, but 9 of you?
Yeah, at this point, there was only like 9 of us. And so we walked over there and said, table for 9 or whatever. And they said, no, there's no room. So we were like, oh, well. And so we started walking around, and someone said, that looks like a restaurant way over there. And we walked over, and they were like, ooh, 9, I don't, let's see, maybe. and they went into the back, and they, the place was so small, they had to, they took a long table and they shoved it up against the wall, like the long side against the wall, and they sat us all around it, like the Last Supper painting.
But facing a wall.
Facing a wall. and this place, we were the only non-locals in the place. This is where people that live there go to have dinner.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the best kind of place.
And what'd you have?
And I went with the... So the... the primary food in the Czech food is like a beef goulash.
Yeah.
Which is just a beef stew with...
Yep, grew up with it.
And they serve it with these things that are halfway between potato and bread. It's like... It's...
Starchy.
It's sort of, it's sort of spongy, but it holds together. You can pick it up and dip it in your sauce or whatever.
Like a hard, like a harder dumpling?
I guess, yeah. A couple times I had that dish, they looked like they'd clearly been sliced from a loaf of it. And then another time, they had clearly been in like a sausage casing. Because they were like crimped at the end. And that was amazing, with plenty of good dark beer.
Carrots and celery and onion in the goulash?
No carrots, a little bit of onions and peppers. And
a brown, dark, rich gravy.
Dark gravy, yeah.
And thus the potatoes.
Yes.
As a starch.
As a side, yeah.
As a starch to, side. To absorb, among other things, the delicious beef gravy.
And that was good. And there was another local dish that I was advised to have, and I did a couple times, that I can't remember the name of, but it was, I think, like, pork loin sliced in a, like, a creamy sauce.
Uh-huh. Like a Marsala sauce, mushroom, brown nice. Sauce.
Yeah, I don't know if there was mushroom, but it was... But it was quite good. There's a name for it, but it sounded like a nonsense word.
A lighter gravy. A pork gravy is usually lighter in color, right. Not dark like a beef. More like a mushroom gravy, a brown gravy. Not brown.
And then
light brown, beige.
And then there was, you know, plenty of beer. Like if you order a large beer, they give you a fucking liter, which is like just over 2 pints.
In a mug?
Yeah, in a big fucking mug. A
big, giant mug that's heavy to pick up?
Yes.
So this sounds cool. What did the other guys get? Was there anything outstanding that you didn't eat?
No, the other guys had... There were some ribs and...
Ooh.
Yeah, that's about it. Meat.
Beer, meat. Welcome.
Exactly.
Welcome. What's the country?
So that was nice.
What's the country? Czechoslovakia.
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Slovakia is no longer
existing. Right, of course. Yeah.
So that was nice. I chose to fly there a couple days earlier just to have some time to explore the city, which... I figure if work is paying for my flight, I'm gonna spend some time there.
A couple days in your own dime.
Yeah. And so as I told you last time, my flight had been canceled and it wasn't until the day before that like that got sorted out. And so I arrived later than I was going to, but I don't know, it all worked out.
A day early anyway.
2 days early, really.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. I wouldn't like 1 day.
3 days early.
Oh, well, that's a lot.
Because I arrived on Friday evening, and then the rest of the team arrived on Monday afternoon.
Oh.
So
you poked around yourself for a few days.
Well, not even by myself, because...
There were others?
Well, no. I put out on Twitter to my social network, I said, hey, do I have any friends in Prague? And... two people put their hands up that are like people that I've met in conferences, or one person I hadn't actually met in person, but I was aware of him online. And so they, one day, one of them came to hang out with me, and he showed me around the city.
How much fun is that?
Yeah, very cool. And we went up, climbed up to see an old castle, and there was an awful lot of tourist stuff. Like, he said, when we got up to the castle, he said, you could spend like 10 hours in here and not see everything, because there's just so much exhibition and museum and stuff. And I told him, yeah, I've done enough museum exhibition stuff to know that it'll be kind of cool, but then I won't remember any of it. So just
where's the beer? Of
coming up here.
Where's the beer and the meat? I need beer and I need meat.
Exactly.
So, did you ever go back to beer meat?
No.
Huh.
Never did. Because the rest of the evenings were scheduled.
So what else? Tell me what else you ate food. Did you have any, like, how did they cook, like, a whole chicken? How would they cook a chicken?
I never saw that.
You never saw a chicken in all of freaking Czech Republic? A cooked chicken.
No, I had a Caesar salad one time when I was feeling tired of meat. There was some chicken on that, but I never saw roasted chicken.
Why do I picture sure that? I picture the, yeah, well, I wonder how they make it. The one of the things that my mother made, and we're her family comes from what was Poland, which I think is now in the Czech Republic, the town of Mikula, I think is in the Czech Republic, but no matter. She used to make chicken in a like a gravy pot. I mean, a full pot of gravy, and the cooking chicken inside, the chicken cooking inside the gravy, and then she would make these dumplings, she called them, which I've never seen anybody make anything like it since, but it was like a bread, of course. But when she dropped it in the boiling, churning gravy that was cooking the chicken, the droplets of stuff that went in as the batter for the dumplings instantly morphed into a edible product, an edible thing. But they were big. They were like the size more of a, like, not as big as a baseball, but bigger than a golf ball. It's definitely more like a baseball. And when you loaded them in the chicken, a piece of chicken and the gravy and the dumpling, of course, was to, you know, absorb or reflect the gravy. But when you cut into it, it was soft inside like bread. And I've never had it had little spikes on it from where the drippings went, and they were deliciously cooked. I've never seen a dumpling like it. Did you see anything like that? That's why I asked about the chicken, because the dish is called chicken and dumplings. So that's where I was headed with the questioning. A fond memory of my youth.
I do not recall any dumplings.
Damn it, all your world travel. How about in Russia?
There was definitely dumplings in Russia. I don't recall the details, but that was a big thing.
Well, you went to Prague in the Czech Republic. I drove to Nuevo for a cup of coffee, then went fishing. I think I sent you pictures, did I?
No.
Oh, I've gone two more times. I go every Monday, so I've gone twice, so I did well. I did well. I landed my biggest to date, which broke my own record from the week before.
Wow.
Of the biggest to date. And then I went up yesterday and I had 10 fish hooked on the end of my line at one point or another. And I landed exactly one of them. And I have a picture of the most colorful trout.
Nice.
That you've seen. I'll send you that.
A rainbow trout.
A what?
Is it a rainbow trout?
No, actually, it's either a brown trout or a brook trout. One guy identified it as a brown. I thought maybe it was a brookie, but I'll have to check on that.
But it's still in favor of gay pride, either way.
Let me just say it has some color to it.
Okay. You said it was really colorful before, I think.
Really, really, really colorful.
Okay. Has some color to it.
Well, all right.
Just like your humor.
I downsized it from amazing colors to it's got some color in it. I see what you're going.
Did it have a Technicolor raincoat on it?
It had a coat of Joseph on it, which was the multicolored coat.
Yesterday was Saint Joseph's Day.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Dolly Parton sang about the multicolored coat, right?
Yes, she did. Saint Joseph's Day is Father's Day in Spain.
Ah. Ah. As it should be.
Can you figure out why? Exactly.
The so-called father of Jesus Christ our Lord, but actually not his father. He was a virgin father.
Indeed. He was, yeah.
Oh, remember I told you about the novel that interpreted the life of Jesus as a married man that I read? I gave you the info on it. That just...
Vaguely.
Sparked that thinking of Joseph. That was a good... I just read another novel that was written hastily and kind of showed. And I'm like, give me a Pulitzer Prize winning novel. I mean, there's enough of them. I got one of those the other day, three chapters, and the middle chapter was weird, and it was more like an outline. It was a weird, and I couldn't believe it got the Pulitzer Prize, frankly, because I've read other Pulitzer Prize novels, and they're fantastic. Fantastic.
This must have been a low year.
I don't know. I didn't see it. Oh, you know, Barack Obama liked it, so apparently that gets a couple of extra votes. It's like... What the fuck, Barack Obama? Like, what? What's that got to do with me?
It's got to do with book sales, is what it's got to do with.
Yeah, or it's got to do like with money in his pocket.
Probably.
Former vice president, whore. No, I love
Obama. Vice president.
Former president. Did I say vice president?
You did.
I don't think I did. I think you've made it up.
His vice president, whore, is currently in the White House.
For the time being, if he lives that long to be reelected, good Lord.
Yeah, so, we'll see about the cheeseburger.
So the political news is that they're having another hearing on the Hunter Biden and under the Joe Biden impeachment, where imagine a country that does not have a budget for the year, is under its third continuing resolution, has abandoned our partners in NATO and in Ukraine, and failed to deliver on a $60 billion arms package while the position continues to deteriorate under the Russian joy of the House Republican in the United States. Very, very, very happy. Trump, Putin puppets all.
Yep.
And what they're doing is they're having a hearing because they want to impeach Joe Biden. Why? Because one of the reasons is his son in 2017 had a business deal with a guy. And that guy says that Hunter Biden broke the law. Who's the guy? Can he testify? Not available today. He's in prison. Huh. He's been in prison for a while. He'll be in prison for another 17 years. Oh, well, could somebody from his family testify? His father? No. His father just was released from prison for fraud for 27 years. So a little light on the witness front.
And you can't pull a guy out of prison to have him testify?
Not in the Congress.
In a court case, you could.
In a criminal court case, you could. I suppose if Congress wanted to, they could. But they wouldn't need to. They're constantly doing camera. But, I mean, what's the look? here's our witness.
Walks out in chains.
In prison garbs.
Yeah.
He's a credible witness. And so tell us about your father, the Dems will ask. And then there's another guy who is Ukrainian, I believe, who worked with Rudy Giuliani. And he had formally testified about Hunter Biden's laptop and all this crazy conspiratorial bullshit. And then he recanted. And he said that instead it was a scheme to make up the shit to get Joe Biden impeached so that he, too, were impeached. And so two impeached guys are running against each other. He is a known liar and I believe has gone to prison for it. But he will be there, too. And nice. He will be there as a Democratic witness, I'm sure, who will say, like I told you before, all these people are lying. And I lied. That's the hearing. So are you going to keep going with it? Yeah. Well, what about the hearing?
We know they all lie.
What about bringing the Ukraine bill up? No. What about a continuing resolution for any number of 12 budgets that are going to lapse, are going to hurt the American people? No. Don't have time for that. Why? What are you doing today? Oh, we're having yet another hearing about Hunter Biden. And oh, by the way, Hunter Biden, 2017, Joe Biden was a citizen then. He was neither vice president nor president. And so exactly what his crime in that is a crime that he committed while president is a little less clear, at least for that particular. They've got others when he was president. But this one in particular, this charge, might be what some might say a bit of a reach, since he wasn't actually a government fucking official at the time. And yet it's still being pursued.
He's probably in Congress, right?
No.
He
left the Senate, and he then became vice president and president. He wasn't a sitting senator, was he, when he was tapped? I don't believe so. Or there was a break between the vice president, the vice presidency and the president. There was, of course. He didn't run for election.
Obama being vice
picked
president.
Hillary Clinton over Biden, in which was the beginning of what is known as the Biden, Obama feud about this whole fucking issue of him running. That was 2017. It was in between political jobs, to say, you know, but a career politician. But the crime alleged is. Got to commit while you're a public official. Doesn't matter whether you're a senator, vice president, judge, or whatever. You can be impeached for defined crimes. And in the case of presidency, it's something called a high crime and a misdemeanor. A high crime being who the fuck knew back in fucking 1800s when they fucking put it into law.
If you smoke a lot of weed and then like
a high crime,
right,
or a crime while high, that. They should change that.
Although, it turns out stoners don't actually commit a lot of crime.
Well, they're too disorganized.
Right, exactly.
Where's my opener? the last of the Smittics. Near the last of it. No, I think I got a couple left, but I ended up getting. Alaska Amber, a six-pack in a can, and did that while I fished, or after I fished. I never drink while I fish.
Really? Too concentrated?
It's a lot to carry. I got to carry water. I'm thigh deep in a river for a mile, so sustenance is protein, and liquid is water,
right.
What I can carry in my little fly pack. It's got zippers everywhere. And a pole, and it's got a net attached to the back of it with a magnet. So I had the one fish on I was going to land almost at the end of the day. I've been fishing for 4 hours and hadn't landed a fish. Caught a lot, or hooked a lot, but didn't land any. A couple of incredible ones, at least a few. And I thought, oh, I'm finally going to land one. I got them right in the mouth. It was about a 12, 14-inch maybe rainbow trout. And my net...
So this one was a rainbow trout.
Yes. And my net is, in order to reach it, I remember I've got 14-foot of line from the tip of my 9-foot pole out. So in order to reach my little stumpy arms with a net, I have a net that's got a handle on it. And the handle opens up, telescopes out to 3 feet. But it takes two hands to pull the telescope out, to pull the handle out.
So you got to pull. You don't have two hands.
I don't have two hands. I have a crutch of an arm where I put the pole that's got a fish on it.
Right.
Or try to hold the pole with my hand to hold the net. So I've got a jumping, charging, running, jumping fish while I'm trying to do something. And as I'm doing that, the fucking fish escape. And I said out loud, I said, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Why don't you extend the net before you put the...
Well, because the net extends and it's in the water. And then as you're crossing through the rushing water or climbing over branches and trees, the bottom of that net, which now dangles between your legs, which you would never understand anything that would dangle like that low. But
You might actually catch a fish just swinging by.
No, right? You might. They think it was a wiggly worm. But no. You'd have to color it pink, which for you wouldn't be unusual. I'm sure you use a nail polish on your member all the time. Hey, listen, I wanna draw your attention to something, and I'm not altogether sure that you shouldn't watch it right now and have to do something in the editing, but it's this commercial that shows this guy just walking around, and in front of him are these two little midget-like creatures with real long hair, and they're walking with him, and then they show another guy and he's got two, and then they show another guy in a hot tub, and when he's in the hot tub, these two hairy creatures get up out of the water where they're underwater, and you don't know what the fuck it is. And then it's a commercial for men's junk grooming accessories. It says, keep your boys tidy. Because the end one shows these guys who are all bald, shaved heads, shaved beards, were all before that. They were all hairy. I think that's what the punchline is. It is freaking hilarious. I've never laughed at a commercial like I've laughed at this commercial.
I will definitely put that in the show notes.
It is so funny.
I've definitely received male grooming ads on like Facebook.
A friend of mine says, you know, the way that you want to make a tree look bigger is that you trim and mow the grass in front of it.
Right, exactly.
This buddy of mine was saying that to my brother. I wasn't there. It's a story my brother tells. And him and my other brother are there with this dude. And he's saying this. Joe, you know, this, you know, do you do male grooming? And Joe's like, you know, he's got a bushy beard and unkempt. It's like...
Do I look like...
He's like, what? And he says, oh, yeah, you know, while they say, you know, The tree looks bigger when the
grass is mowed.
Lawn below it, the grass below it is mowed. And Joe said, no, I didn't hear that. He says, well, let me show you. And he starts to unbuckle his pants in this bar to show that he's been trimmed up.
Oh, Lord.
But Joe had to stop him. Oh, Lord. This guy's so crazy. We had so much fun with him. He was a wild man. Tony. Here's a shout out to Tony. Toast to Tony. I haven't seen Tony in years. Many years.
Tony.
Toast to Tony. What you got there, broski?
Well mowed and Tony.
What are you drinking?
This is just water at the moment. My throat hurts a little bit.
What did you say?
I know, right?
You're in disarray of your contract, motherfucker. You are not allowed. ever allowed, ever,
yeah.
ever allowed to drink water during this broadcast. You're not.
Okay. I apologize for my breach of contract.
No. We'll take a break. Go get something to drink right now. Drink a shot and come back. Go on.
All right.
Go on. Back. God damn it. You try to train these guys, you can't train them. They come in, they got some technical abilities, stuff like that, but they got no presence about them. They're not exactly sure what to do. Okay. You got to train, you got to take breaks. Now, it's more editing, which will cost me more money. I'm already paying, like, I'm not paying anything, but somebody's paying something. We get 46 cents a month. You're back. What do you got now? Broski.
Bear. Got
what
a Mao.
Bear?
It's a toasted Mao beer. It's a dark beer.
Show me the can.
Mao.
You're showing me the fucking pricing code. Good Lord.
Mao.
Oh. Ah. Matches your shirt.
Indeed. It's a.
It's what you needed. If you got a sore throat, nothing cures it more like beer. And, you know.
Whenever I ask my cat what I should drink, he says, Mao? And so.
See the commercial where the cat says, Mao?
Meow. No, I don't.
Saturday Night Live, what's the actress's name that we've talked about so many times? The comedian who left, actually. Impersonator. She did the best Rudy Giuliani. And used
Kate McKinnon?
Kate McKinnon, yeah. She does a commercial with a cat to sell mayonnaise. The talking cat, because the cat says, meow.
Boy, the SNL people, they go right into commercials, don't they?
Well, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Well, she was also in Barbie, which you saw.
Yeah.
You know, and of course in a role that's certainly written for her.
But I remember the Super Bowl commercial with Tina Fey. Like, she cashed in on, it was a booking.com. She was like, people were impersonating her.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And like a Sasquatch.
Including Glenn Close.
Yes.
Riding.
Exactly. They spread out the money on that particular ad.
Yeah, well, it was entertaining. Not like, the boys, you know, I don't remember the saying of that thing. It isn't keep the boys trimmed. I don't know. You'll find it. You'll have to remind me what it is.
I'll put it. The slogan might be our title for this episode. If it's funny enough.
I think it should be. Sure, I like the joke about the guy with the two assholes.
Exactly.
Sure.
I have one other story from Prague. We did a thing that I'd never done before, but has become popular lately. We went to an escape room. Do you know what those are?
It's a place you go, you take all your clothes off, you're submerged in water, and you're encouraged to urinate and defecate in the water because there's attendants that will clean it.
You're very close.
I knew it.
It's not a scrape room. It's an escape room.
Oh, I meant like scrape your hairy buttocks of defecation. Yeah. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
But do you know what escape rooms are? Have you heard of this trend?
Yeah, now that I know what you're talking about, yes. They're a room where you take all your clothes off.
Yes.
And there's air blowing in them in all directions, and so you're suspended in the middle of the room. You're not blown about because the blowers from the roof keep you one way, and the end result is that you're animated in the middle of the room in free-flowing air. That's an escape room.
Okay. Good. Nice try. Clothes remained on. It's It's this room where you and I guess we were teams of four. Only nine of us did it, so there, we had split up into two teams, one with four and one with five.
That would make sense. I've just checked. That math works.
Exactly. So there were two different rooms. We did them simultaneously. But so I was on the team of five, and you're taken into this place, and there's this story where, like, the first one I did, the story was that there was, like, some zombie apocalypse, and we were in the laboratory of the doctor that had figured out the vaccine to cure the whole thing, but he had died before he had finished it, but he had locked it up so a way that zombies couldn't figure out how to get there, because zombies are kind of stupid. And
you know those stupid zombies. They got soft skulls too. I mean, give me a break. Soft skull and stupid.
You know, to quote the zombie. And so brains. There was a sequence of, like, things you had to figure out. So just to give an example. As a group. So, to give you an example, we started off and two of us went through a door, and then they closed and locked the doors. But we could talk to each other through, like, through bars on the door. And on the door there were like six lights and switches, on off switches on the below and above each of the lights. And we could play with them, and sometimes it would turn on our light, the light it was next to, and sometimes it wouldn't. And we had to figure out that what we had to do was to get the there were two rows of lights and switches, and we had to get the two lights on each column to be either on or off. But, like, our switches sometimes controlled the lights on the other side of the door, and sometimes theirs controlled ours. So there's a lot of, like, communication back and forth. Like, flip the...
Did you have access to weapons?
No weapons. No. And so, anyway, it's just little brain teaser puzzles like that throughout.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah, we eventually figured it out. It takes about an hour to get out.
And so as a result of this, you bonded and you knew each other better and could work more closely as a team, kind of thing?
I guess it seems kind of corny, but, like, there was definitely a closeness.
Well, when people realize each other's attributes at problem solving and how they think and how they collaborate. And it's
right, and you have to listen to other people's ideas, yes, and et cetera, et cetera. Yes. So
there's only one thing. There's only one thing that produces trust on a team, and that is a shared time together
with a zombie.
I don't radio someone.
Our progress reports are not good enough for.
I want to know your performance. Tell me.
Time for performance reviews. Yes.
It's time for your performance review. I'm going to hit your head with a lead pipe, see if it explodes.
And the other room was a... We were trapped by Dr. Moriarty in something that he was going to blow up a bunch of, I don't know, cities or something, and we had to figure out how to sort of a diehard sort of a thing.
So
it was fun.
This was part and parcel, obviously, of this retreat that you and your team took.
It was on the final day after, so we had two full days of just meetings and brainstorms and shit.
Work related.
Monday morning and afternoon.
Work related, and not exercises, but
yeah, actual. Work. Yeah, work related.
Problem solving, product, work challenges.
How can we make the product better? What features can we take out of the product, et cetera, et cetera. And then on our third day, we the morning was just sort of carryover from the extra stuff that we didn't get to the previous 2 days, and then in the afternoon is when we did the final afternoon is when we did the escape room. So, you know, it was kind of fun.
Well, it sounds like kind of a fascinating several days. Kind of a I would imagine that when you look back on the time before the conference, which was unplanned, that right. carefree approach was your favorite.
Yes and no. Like, I enjoy walking around European cities, and just, I mean, I enjoy it more with my wife and family, but being alone was okay. And
but you weren't, and
well,
you
were I wasn't alone, so. Totally alone. I was with a friend. Yeah. For
and
most
so
of the time.
Let me get this straight: the whole time you were there alone, and the whole time you were there with Twitter friends, and the whole time you were there with the conference team, you never right. once saw how they cooked chicken.
That is
I want to reiterate that because it sounds kind of odd to me.
There was a KFC, but I didn't go in there.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh. There's KFCs everywhere.
Everywhere, all throughout the Czech Republic, eh?
There was a Popeyes, too, which I don't think I've ever actually been to a Popeyes.
Oh, Popeyes is the best, man. If they sell fish, get it. It's the best fish. Best fish. Anywhere.
Really? Okay.
Anywhere fast food. But they don't sell it at all their branches. Mainly they're selling the chicken, which has got the coating and the secret little bit of hot sauce in the coating.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I do like some secret hot sauce.
It's got a little bite to it. Makes me hungry. In fact, I've got some chicken downstairs. It's going to be ready to go in a minute.
Excellent.
So what else on my end? Let's see. Oh, granddaughter turned 7.
Wow, that's a big year.
And looking at pictures of her, all her little life is just amazing. She's
yeah, it's so fun to look back at.
There's a big difference between 7 and 5.
Huge. Yes.
You know, it's interesting how as you grow older, the differences in years deteriorate.
Collapse. Yeah.
I can't say
it's a smaller percentage, right?
Actually, it's only
from 5 to 6. You're
20%
older, but from 70 to 71, you're just a sliver older.
Ah. Let me check the math on that. You're right.
That's one of the theories of why it feels like time goes by faster when you're older. Like when you're 5, it seems like forever to get to be 6 years old, and when you're 50, you blink your eye and you're 51.
And at what age do you not want to get older, and instead you'd rather not get older? I mean, when does that happen? 40. I mean,
40.
I mean, when do you, like, when you're 7, you want to be 11.
Physically?
Yeah,
right.
when you're 14, you want to be 16. When you're 16, you want to be 18. Blah, blah. At what point do you say, I'm good?
Yeah, I think early 20s is
28, early 20s?
Early. Why?
Why does a 20-year-old want to become a 30-year-old?
I mean, just because the 30-year-olds have a career and more money.
Do you think that a 22-year-old is looking forward to being a 30-year-old?
No, which is why that's when they would hit the stop button. I don't know.
Don't you recall? How old are you? You're 42, right?
45.
45.
Yeah, so that's more than half my life ago. But no, there's no, you don't get any benefit. I mean, if we're going to talk about, you know, brain formation and, you know, whatever, then yeah, you get slightly wiser or better thinker at 27 than 22.
So what happened to your trajectory? It seems to have missed a few.
It's just gone downhill.
A few of the key stops along the way. I think you might have kept your metal to the pedal and cruised right past the opportunity to gain in these mental and physical attributes.
I kept my metal to the pedal. That's what I always say.
The pedal to the metal.
Okay.
Did I say it backwards?
Yes. But, you know, as you were criticizing my...
Now it's criticism. It's criticism. Well, now ribbing. Well, now I go from ribbing to criticism. Have you been, like, in the retreat setting too much?
I hear you saying, I feel... And when you say, I feel unloved. When you say those things, those are mean-spirited things, and I feel unloved.
When you threw that pen at me, I felt attacked. Yes, but it was a good experience, and it was weird to meet people in person that you've worked with daily for a year.
Like meat.
You've never experienced that. Yes. We meet them and we beer them.
Now when you meet them in Prague, meat is spelled M-E-A-T. It's
right.
Hey, let's meet.
Yes.
At the restaurant that sells everything but cooked chicken. Nobody ate chicken the whole time you were there. If I got this right? Not one person on your team ever ate a chicken in fucking Prague.
Any kind of chicken. When we were there in the dark,
there was something.
With the belly dancers, I swear there was like drumsticks.
It could have been a fucking quail or a fucking duck. I don't know, a goose leg.
And the other thing that they did, remember I mentioned that they did fire stunts? This guy came in and he said, "Okay, everyone that's sitting on the bench of the table, close to the performers, you guys need to evacuate and go further away. Remember, we're in this tiny little cave with no exit." And this guy comes and he's treated his skin with whatever fire retardant or whatever, and he's got this fire and he's like rubbing it up and down his arms and it's not burning him, and then he like takes a swig of whatever it is and of kerosene and just blows it kerosene. And well,
it's just fucking alcohol. You can light good bourbon, man. Probably not like a big burst.
But it stank of fuel after they left.
Really?
and the reason it stank of fuel is we could see from our photos that we took. Yes. Hold on. The photos, you could see it. You could see him, with his fire above him. And then all these little droplets of the fuel just landing everywhere. And it was just like, man. Yes.
You remember this forever and fondly, but it sounds like just a fucking disaster to me. The food wasn't good and identifiable. The beer was weak, but albeit plentiful. But a lot of beer that's not so good isn't the best thing. And you don't go there for the food or the drink. Magicians in the dark.
For the danger.
Belly dancers coming and going and guys playing one chord. On yep. a guitar, and now the kerosene spitting,
and the waitress whipping us.
Fire gas! You just missed an opportunity there. You
potentially.
You should have grabbed that whip from her, whipped her right across her neck. She would have taken the challenge. She would have said, "All right, let's go."
Oh. She very much knew her role, and for sure she had other customers.
So did she hit you because she thought you would be aggressive or submissive?
Handsy.
She hit you because she thought you'd be submissive. You were sitting there like a little bitch. That's why she hit you.
Yes.
Yeah, so so if you want to analyze this favorite night of your life, included you being bitch slapped in the ass by a dominatrix.
That's, yes.
Wow. That's woof.
The dominatrix of Prague.
Fun. That's a lot of fun. The dominatrix of Prague. That
could be a title.
Is a pretty good subtitle. It'd have to be a colon or a semicolon. I'm not sure which you do.
So, yeah, it, you know, you travel and you get new experiences. Am I right?
Going to Nuevo, I had a different dinner than I usually have. That was a new experience. I love that drive. I love seeing Michigan. It snowed. It's now cold again. It's in the teens.
Wow.
All the blossoms are budding, and we had snow today, and onward and upward. Well, I gotta go. I got shit to do, but I got a new tune for you.
Okay.
Got a new tune for you. When I get off of this mountain, you know where I want to go. Straight down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico, to Lake Charles, Louisiana, a little Bessie girl that I once knew. She told me just to come on by if there's anything she could do. Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I sprang a leak. She mends me, I don't have to speak. She defends me, a drunkard's dream, if I ever did see one. Now, I can play, and I do, my juice harp at the end of every one of this. I love that tune. Cripple Creek, the band, I'm out, bro. Next week.
Peace. See ya.
Four corners, baby. Four corners. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four corners.
Okay, that's it for episode number 211. You can find the show notes at happyhour.fm/211, where you can find YouTube links to those commercials that we talked about, etc., etc. You can help support the show at patreon.com/happyhour. If you support at the Gin Martinis level, you can watch a video of us on this call. See you next week.